Attorney General Javier Becerra plans to announce his department's results in the Stephon Clark case today at 11. He plans to meet with the Clark family at 9. Last night, as you might know, protesters marched through East Sacramento's fabulous 40s neighborhood. And unlike past Stephon Clark demonstrations, this one ended with many arrests. On Insight special coverage today, we're following that evolving story with the Attorney General's announcement. Cap Radio reporter Sammy Caola, meanwhile, is with the Clark family. Cap Radio's Ezra Romero and Nick Miller were there. They will join me in the studio. We had planned to talk with Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. Because of all that's going on, the mayor will not be joining us. We will continue this conversation, though. It's all on a special Insight edition coming up next. From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight, a special edition. I'm Beth Ruyak. There are a number of evolving storylines today related to the Stephon Clark case. Let's start with the news that just came within the last half hour, and that is that Attorney General Javier Becerra intends to announce results of the state's independent criminal investigation into the shooting death of Stephon Clark today at 11 a.m. He is reportedly meeting at this moment with the Clark family. Capital Public Radio's Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler is in the studio with me. And there was anticipation that the timing could be soon. So here we are, Ben.
Here we are. Yesterday at an unrelated news conference, he was peppered with questions about the timing and about police use of force bills. He said he was going to defer comment on everything until the moment that is coming up at 11 o'clock this morning. So for a refresher, this is Becerra yesterday talking about his department's investigation.
We're not reviewing what the DA did. We're doing our own examination of the record and the evidence, wholly separate and apart and independently of the DA's office.
It looks like, Ben, from this press release, that it is going to be a 96-page report with 49 recommendations for changes in department policies. And that came at the invitation by Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn to take an in-depth look at his department and how these shootings are being handled. And he referenced that in our conversation yesterday.
Yeah. So there are kind of two parts of what the Department of Justice, run by Attorney General Becerra, are looking at. There are departmental policies and recommendations. You could kind of, you know, use the word audit to describe it. And then there is the criminal investigation. Should these officers, the two officers who fatally shot Stephon Clark, even though Clark was unarmed about a year ago, should they be charged criminally? Over the weekend, Sacramento County District Attorney said no. The law is clear. The answer to that is no. It is that same question that Attorney General Becerra will answer in a couple of hours.
I want to clarify that I am looking right now at a report by Sam Stanton at the Sacramento Bee, and this says that a new report has come out today, Tuesday, urging these many sweeping changes. Now, I'm not completely clear whether this is a separate report from the findings related to the Stephon Clark case or whether it is part of the same. But this is a story that has just been published by Sam.
I think we're talking, maybe, you know, other folks who are in the studio with us can weigh in on this. But my understanding is there's, you know, a couple of different parts to this. There's the criminal charge question. And then what we've heard Police Chief Daniel Hahn say yesterday is he's waiting for the Attorney General's investigation to come back with findings. And then they will also, you know, the preliminary findings the AG released already a few weeks back at a press conference with the police chief and the mayor. And then there are more findings coming. And I think those findings are among those that Chief Hahn is waiting for to review before deciding whether the officers violated any departmental regulations and whether they should be able to stay on the force with or without punishment.
This is a moment to be completely transparent about something. News was happening fast within the last half hour. We are monitoring all of what unfolded last night related to the demonstrations and the fact that the AG's office sent out a press release. I was handed a piece of research that at the top says Tuesday, March 5th, 8:53 a.m., and it talks about this report. Guess what? This report came out in February. And so it is not something brand new today. Your clarification was really good, Ben. And it's an example of how we try to track what's coming in and what doesn't at the moment. So at this point, we do not have any information about the Attorney General's findings on the Stephon Clark case. However, we're told again that the Attorney General is meeting with the Clark family right now. Cap Radio reporter Sammy Kayola is there, and we expect the live press conference at 11 a.m. with the results of the AG's office. All right. Anything to add to that, Ben?
In about 2 hours, yes.
Okay.
Lots.
All right. That is Cap Radio Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler. Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
Now I'm going to turn to two more of my colleagues who spent most of the night involved in the other major story related to the Stephon Clark case, and that is that a protest that was expected perhaps to be outside the Golden 1 Center before the Kings game instead grew from a small group that gathered at the Trader Joe's on Folsom Boulevard. This is near the very exclusive Fabulous 40s neighborhood of East Sacramento. And let's listen initially to the sound of the march early in the evening.
We came in and we shook up privilege. We did not do anything wrong. We were peacefully protesting. And now you have a riot squad as if we broke windows in the community, as if we disrupted and destroyed property.
That gave you a little bit of a preview of what happened later on in the night. Needless to say, the atmosphere and the tension turned. So I have Ezra Romero here in the studio, Nick Miller with me as well. Do you want to pick it up from there, Ezra?
Yeah, that was very Axios after the people were arrested last night. The whole point of them going into this Fabulous 40s neighborhood was to have a targeted protest, a targeted peaceful protest, where they disrupt. And they went to this community because they wanted to go to a place where people live that make major decisions for Sacramento. Their perspective is that wealthy people live in this area that the city listens to.
All right, Nick Miller, I want to add you into the conversation here to almost pull back a moment and give some broad perspective on the city and demonstrations and why the expectations might have been where they were last night.
Sure. The city's witnessed protests and demonstrations in the Stephon Clark case for nearly a year now. We've seen demonstrators shut down a freeway, block fans from entering two Kings games. Black Lives Matter activists have been posted up in front of the district attorney's office for nearly a year. During that time, we've seen, Beth, three arrests that were related to Stephon Clark protests.
Right.
So last night, 84 people were arrested in the aftermath or the final moments of the East Sac march and protest, which went through the Fabulous 40s and then came back to the Trader Joe's on Folsom Boulevard. And so that's sort of the big picture of what we're looking at today is why did we see the arrests we saw last night and what does that mean? And we're trying to explore that.
We have compiled a long list of pieces of sound, and I'm just going to work my way straight down the list. And they aren't in necessarily chronological order, but between the two of you, add to the context of what was happening. You already heard Barry Axios say that the reason that the protest happened where it did, not at the Golden 1 Center, was about the privilege of the neighborhood. And Ezra, would you say just a bit more about that?
Yeah, so there's this group called The Table. They're this organization that's sort of grassroots. They just started, and their whole idea is that we're going to have these series of events in town. They were at the Arden Fair Mall on Sunday. That got shut down. They were in the Fab 40s last night. And the idea is to disrupt. On Sunday, it was all about disrupting economic centers. That's the Arden Fair Mall that takes in, I don't know, lots and lots of money every day. And hundreds and hundreds of people couldn't go shopping that day, right? Last night, you're in this area where you don't see this population mostly, right? And so you have all these people there disrupting. Their message was like, wake up, Fab 40s, we are here. And we are also the Fab 40s, is what they were saying. And so that's what that's sort of all about, is going to different places now because they don't feel like going to City Hall is making a difference. They don't feel like going to the governor's office is making a difference. These ways that California and America says to make a difference is not what they think is actually happening here. So they're going to keep going and disrupting places that you may not think they should go, but they're going to go to those places.
Journalists were among those arrested last night. I understand that Dale Kassler from the Sacramento Bee was detained briefly, then he was released. A reporter named Scott Rodd, who works for the Sacramento Business Journal, who interestingly is about to join our CAF radio staff, was among those arrested. And we do have a bit of sound from him last night. You can also see more of a story about his arrest in today's Sacramento Business Journal. So let's listen to Scott Rodd.
I had, you know, my camera out, clearly filming. I had, you know, credentials displayed, shirt said press. Once I was sat down, I told them I'm a member of the media. And from there, nothing. We just sat and I pretty much waited my turn to get put in the wagon and then brought to where they were processing people.
Nick, I want to carefully describe the fact that this demonstration was winding down. Everybody had come back around to the Trader Joe's when the situation evolved into the arrests. And essentially, people became sandwiched or contained on the 51st Street overpass. And that's how the arrests were made, correct?
That's what several of the individuals who were arrested told me when I interviewed them at Cal Expo last night between 1 and 2 in the morning. They were taken from East Sacramento, put in Sacramento County vans, and then they were transported to Cal Expo, which was a staging area for law enforcement for processing individuals who had been arrested. And they said that they felt like they were trapped, or that when law enforcement said, disperse, this is an unlawful assembly, that they didn't have a place to disperse because everywhere they looked, there were law enforcement officers preventing them. When I asked Sergeant Vance Chandler, who's the spokesperson for the Sacramento Police Department, he didn't really have a response for that right away. But I anticipate today that we're going to get some more clarity on that issue of were these journalists in particular able to disperse.
In fact, I know from City Hall that the mayor is talking to the Sacramento police chief at this point in time. We also have the attorney general's press conference not too long from now. So a lot of city leaders are conferring on what happened. Let's listen to another piece of sound. This is from Shane Harris. And in this, you're going to get some of the opinion by some people of what went on last night.
The police were building this protest up, and the ones who sent people down to that bridge to be arrested. It reminded me of Selma, Alabama. Dr. Martin Luther King and many walked Selma Bridge. We were walking in the Sacramento Bridge, and they walked us right into the attacks. They attacked us.
I want to continue on with another piece of sound from Shane Harris, and this is in terms of the numbers of people that were at the situation.
There was more police than there were protesters. They were there in double numbers, and they pushed people onto that bridge only to set up an arrest. That's what the whole strategy was.
There is reaction today, Nick, maybe you can speak to this, by people who feel betrayed. I've heard that word used, that there was an indication of how demonstrations had been handled in the past and how would continue to be handled, and the fact that so many arrests were made, I heard Tonya Faison say, means that city leaders were only using words.
That's true. I spoke with religious leaders at Cal Expo. They do feel that like they had operated and cooperated in advance of the DA's announcement in good faith that, you know, we will keep the peace on the streets, we will do safe spaces, and we will try, but we still want to, you know, have our civil disobedience. We want to have our First Amendment right to protest. So they're deeply frustrated by that. I've also, Beth, been monitoring online, like nextdoor.com, and I'm reading residents of East Sacramento say things like, I'm deeply grateful for the police presence tonight that prevented the protests from getting out of control. The police did their best and prevented significant damage. So I think today, as this conversation sort of comes to a head, we're going to hear people with these sort of opposing, contrasting views of how law enforcement, did their jobs last night.
I said that we intended to have the mayor join us this morning. The mayor is all of a sudden involved in quite a few important conversations, but we do have Mary Lynn Valenga from the mayor's office on the phone with us. Mary Lynn, thanks for making time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Can you, first of all, verify what's going on with the mayor's schedule this morning and what kind of meetings are happening related to last night?
Well, he was meeting with the city manager this morning, and he's going to be talking to the police chief. We need to be having those conversations to get a full picture of what went on last night before we, you know, make more public statements. It's important that we communicate with one another. And then we're also preparing for a council meeting tonight in which we are going to try and create the best possible community forum for hearing from both the public and potentially from the department about what happened and whether we need to change our policies and procedures going forward to make sure that the right for peaceful protest is, you know, observed and that we're able to not have something like this happen in the future.
Mary Lynn, what's the view from the mayor and the mayor's office of what happened last night?
We just, that's why I said he needs to talk to the police chief. We just don't. We just don't have enough information to. And we, the mayor said last night, obviously, they it's not something you want to see, and he has a lot of questions about it. But we need to take a little time to try to get those answered before we, you know, come out and definitively make a statement about that.
His first tweet from last night, which was at 11:15 p.m., reads, "I'm very disappointed that the protest ended the way it did. I have many questions about what caused the order to disperse and the subsequent arrests. I will withhold further comment until I get answers to these crucial questions tonight or tomorrow morning." The order to disperse, do you know where that originated?
I don't. I mean, you could hear as well as I could watching the live feeds that they continued to say over and over, probably 10 times, that people should disperse. And according to the police, to Vance Chandler, who was on the scene last night at Trader Joe's, that was because of the reports of that they decided that it was an unlawful assembly after receiving reports that people's cars were vandalized, specifically keyed. I'm not sure how many cars we're talking about. I think you said five last night. Not entirely sure at this point. That's one of the things we're trying to ascertain. But that was the reason that they gave. I don't have any more information than that about why.
Can you help me understand the jurisdiction and decision-making between Sacramento City Police and the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department as it was last night in that situation?
I'm sorry, was the sheriff's department involved in some way?
I saw sheriff's deputies on the scene, and as did Nick Miller, who was on the scene. So it was our understanding that both agencies were involved.
I don't have that information. That's another question then that we would need to get answered. The county generally has jurisdiction in the unincorporated county, but maybe, I really don't know. Maybe there was a request for assistance or something. I don't know.
Okay. Tell me about the plans for tonight's city council meeting. Anything unusual that might be in place?
No, we're still working on how to best structure it. There's nothing significant on the agenda except for this. You know, we expect to have a lot of people and to have a lot of people who want to talk, and we want to provide the best possible forum for to hear, you know, everything that folks have to say. It'll be a public venue, and, you know, that would be an appropriate place to kind of get a lot of information.
Will the mayor be attending this press conference by the attorney general at 11 this morning?
No, he won't be there.
Okay. And one other area I want to cover with you, Mary Lynn, which involves the journalists that were detained, and certainly faith leaders were arrested, students were arrested. It was a wide cross-section of people there last night. But I do know, it seems, that the mayor was aware that at least one of your former colleagues, Sacramento Bee reporter Dale Kasler, was in the mix of all of this. Can we just speak to this matter of journalists being arrested?
Yes, as he said last night, you know, it's not acceptable that journalists should be arrested in the course of doing their work. And the reason we knew about Dale Kassler was because of the Bee's live feed, you know, in which it happened in real time, right, where we could see it. We were unaware of, at the time, of Scott Rodd and of the Sac State student journalists, but certainly would feel the same way about them.
That Sac State student journalist Will Coburn was an intern here with us on Insight.
Was he really?
Yeah, and Scott's about to join the staff, so I think their descriptions of, for Scott in particular, his hands, he said, were zip-tied behind his back for 4 hours.
Oh, that's, yeah.
And there was confusion, he said, about whether people were going to be taken to the Sac City jail or to Galt. They ended up being taken, I guess, to Cal Expo.
Oh, to Cal Expo.
Yeah.
Okay, and then how long was he held before he was let go?
I'm going to ask Nick Miller to come in here and join us on the timetable here, Nick.
Most of the individuals who were arrested last night were detained between approximately 10 p.m. and 11 p.m., and then they remained on the sidewalk in East Sacramento for 1 to 2 hours before loading into vans. And these vans were labeled Sacramento County Sheriffs.
Oh, okay.
And and then they were transferred to Cal Expo, where they were processed. And by 2:30 in the morning, all 84 people who had been arrested were finally released from law enforcement custody.
So what time were what time was Scott and the student journalist arrested?
He was a little later
I mean,
in the
let
evening.
Go. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Around I would estimate around 2 a.m.
2 a.m. he was released. Okay.
All right, Mary Lynn. Well, anything else to add on this?
No. I mean, we're still fact-finding at this point, I would emphasize. And, you know, the mayor is trying to be deliberate and not rush to make, you know, a lot of statements before we have the full picture. Internally, obviously, you can see that we don't completely. So I thank you for sharing what you shared as well.
Mary Lynn, thanks for making time to join us. And we look forward to finishing the conversation with the mayor at his availability.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That is Mary Lynn Valenga from the Sacramento Mayor's Office. I believe we have Pastor Les Simmons on the phone right now. Pastor Simmons, a very active, vocal faith leader in the community. And I think you better tell us about your night last night, Pastor Simmons. Glad to have you on the program.
Glad to be on the program. Last night, I saw 85 people get detained and ultimately arrested and processed and herded to Cal Expo. And I saw 85 unnecessary detainees go through that whole process.
What do you think?
I saw reporters in that line of getting arrested, as well as legal observers and our young folks, our community leaders, and the clergy as well.
What do you think the goal of that effort was last night? How do you interpret it, Pastor?
I'm really still processing it because I've never seen or experienced anything like that. As you know, I went to Ferguson in 2014, and I went again in 2015, and was actively involved here in Sacramento since then, and around 2016 with Joseph Mann's death. And last night, I have never seen what happened last night. 85 people get detained. There was no way out. We got trapped on a bridge or barricaded on both ends of a freeway overpass, on both ends of a freeway overpass with nowhere to go, no outlet, no release. And kids were on the sidewalk, and it was nowhere to go. And 85 people got detained. 85 people got processed, and 85 people got arrested and then cited and then let go.
Are you also aware, Pastor Les, and I'm shifting the topic here just a bit, that the Attorney General is about to release the findings at 11 a.m. Of the Stephon Clark case on the state level?
Yes, I'm aware of it. I saw that happening a little while ago, and I think based on his releasing of the findings, I think it will either help our community to process and heal, or it will continue to add pain to our community, pain to the family, and ultimately lead to most likely some actions and protests and hopes that our city officials, now our local city officials, really leverage and use their power to bring about the trust through reform that our community needs.
And that's where I was going with that, was what you think might happen next. Pastor Les, I can hear you've had a tremendously challenging and long night. So thank you for making a few minutes to join us on Insight.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is Pastor Les Simmons of Sacramento ACT, among the 84 people arrested last night at a demonstration. A final word, Nick and Ezra, Nick Miller and Ezra Romero. Today is going to be a big day with more news. Detentions continue to stay high in the city. Is your thought yes, no, or I'm not sure at this point? Ezra?
I'd say yeah. After last night, all the people that I spoke with that were on the outside watching people get arrested, we're saying this is going to fuel the fire a bit. And people who are interested in this that didn't come out, they say they're going to come out now.
Nick?
I think, like the mayor's office, we as journalists are still fact-finding. On one hand, we're hearing someone like Pastor Les say, who was in Ferguson, say, "I've never seen anything like last night, what he saw here in Sacramento." We're also hearing the mayor's office saying we need to have a conversation about law enforcement procedure and policy, because the outcomes of last night, he hasn't said they were wrong, but he said that didn't work.
All right. That is Cap Radio's Nick Miller and Ezra Romero. Thank you both. We will have coverage throughout the day of the Attorney General's announcement of the state-level findings on the Stephon Clark case. You've been listening to Insight Special Coverage. I'm Beth Ruyak. Thanks for joining us.